This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. 6 months ago, we covered the story of the collapse of Rana Plaza, a garment factory in Bangladesh where a lot of clothing is made for Western retailers from Walmart all the way down the food chain. 1,127 people were killed that day. Many more were injured. And last weekend, we talked to a woman from the Workers' Rights Consortium about whether things have changed there and whether those retailers have put pressure on the people who run those factories in Bangladesh that supply our clothes with cheap labor doing the work. Well, my next guest went one step further than that. She actually went to Bangladesh and got a job in one of those sweatshops. Her name is Ravina Alek. She's a reporter for the Toronto Star and joins me now here on America Weekend. Hi, Ravina. How are you?
Hello, Paul. How are you? I'm good. Thank you.
I'm happy to have you on the show. In reading your piece, the most shocking part of this was that your boss was a 9-year-old girl named Meme. And I can't help but wonder how surprised you were to see somebody that young working in a factory making clothing.
I have to say that was the biggest shock for me when I walked into the factory the first day. I had thought that I would find maybe a 14-year-old or even a 13-year-old working there, but I had never thought that there would be a 9-year-old. And I have to say, when I first walked in, I actually thought she was even younger than that. She's really small, so she looked about 6 at that point.
Wow. Tell us about the conditions in this sweatshop where you worked.
In this factory, it was a small place, Paul. The room that they worked in wasn't very large. I think it was half the size of the basketball court. It had only one entrance, and that was also the exit. There were no windows. There were 3 fans, and the lighting wasn't bad at all. And all over the place, there was fabric, and there was nothing else. Everyone had to be there in time, which meant you had to be there by 9. And most people worked the overtime shift, which went on till 9 p.m. And they had 1 hour break for lunch. That's pretty much it. But they had to be working all the time. There was a lot of screaming, but I asked around, and the manager screamed a lot. But as far as I knew, he never hit anyone.
About 100 years ago, after my grandmother had come to this country from Eastern Europe as an immigrant, she was living on the Lower East Side of New York and got a job doing piecework in a garment factory, probably not unlike the one in which you worked. She told me later that it wasn't really a sweatshop. It was a place where you essentially got paid for each little piece of work you did. If you put on a sleeve or you sewed a cuff or you worked on a pant leg or a piece of a sport jacket, you got paid for that tiny little amount of work. You had to keep all these tags with you. That the conditions weren't great, but that was the only kind of work that she could get then. Tell me a little bit about how these people get through their day and how much they are paid to do similar work now here in the 21st century.
Right. As I said, they work every day, 9 to 9, and they have an hour-long break. They're expected to work every minute of the time that they're in the factory. They are allowed bathroom breaks and to have a snack, but it's not for a long time. They're expected to be back to their workstations really fast. They work throughout the monsoon and the heat, which is really, really oppressive. And they don't really have a choice. But they're not paid a lot. So Meme and everyone who was a sewing helper, they were paid anywhere between $29 to $35 a month. As far as I know, it wasn't on how much work they did, but just being there every single day. So there were some workers who were slightly slow, and there was Meme who was really, really fast. But yeah, that's what they were paid, $29 to $35 a month. But
is that a lot in Bangladesh?
No, it's not a lot, but it is enough to feed a family of 2, I would say.
And why is it?
You have to live in a slum.
Yeah. Why is a 9-year-old working in a factory instead of going to school?
Well, as I wrote in this story, this 9-year-old really didn't have a choice, and it's not an uncommon thing to see there. She has a big family. Her mother used to work, but recently she wasn't able to work, so there were still as many mouths to feed. And Meen was the oldest of four sisters, so she was the one who had to go to work and who had to leave school.
So at 9 years old, she goes there and she has this job, and then when you are brought in as the new employee, she has to show you the ropes.
Well, yes, it just so happened that the first day I started work, she happened to be there. She was the first person in, and so I was just asked to speak to her and just understand how everything is done, and that's what she did.
And you were doing this, Ravina, undercover. No one there knew that you were a reporter working up a story, right?
No, they did not.
How did you get the job?
Well, the initial plan was to find a job in a larger factory, factories that we've heard of, where you have 1,000 workers in one place. And we really tried hard for the first week that I was there, but it just didn't work out. After the Rana Plaza, owners and managers have hired security, and everything that goes into the process of hiring new people is really strict now. So when I couldn't find any work in a larger factory, then I had to fall back on plan B, which was, okay, let's go to a smaller factory. It might not be exactly what we wanted, but it was a story in its own way.
So you get into this factory and you have this job here, and you're living in Dhaka, Bangladesh, for several days. And tell me what the life was like for people in that town. I mean, what is Dhaka like?
Dhaka is this huge city, which is also known as one of the megacities in the world. I think the population right now is about 19 million people. There is traffic everywhere, and traffic is one of the things that is crazy there. Apparently, according to a government report there, you can be stuck in the traffic almost every day for as much as about 4 to 5 hours. And traffic jams like that are not really unknown. It rains a lot during the monsoon, which is from about May to August. It's very, very, very hot. I can't even start to say how hot it is. But the people are really nice. They're very nice, and they're trusting, and they help you.
And do they need that garment work?
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. One of the things that we had to make very clear in the series that we ran in the Toronto Star was this is not about taking these jobs away. It is about making these jobs better and safer for them. Everything has changed so much in the past 20, 25 years, ever since the garment industry has started and boomed. Women are now allowed, and they are working, and they have a sort of economic freedom that they never used to. So it would not be great to take that away from them.
So the people in the West who were saying after the Rana Plaza disaster, oh, these Western companies like Walmart and others, they should pull out of there because the conditions are too bad. That would be devastating for these people.
Absolutely. I think the idea is to make these places, the factories, safer for them and for the workers, and to pay them more as much as we can.
How long did you work there?
I was there for 4 days.
How long will Meme work there?
That's a great question. I'm honestly really not sure, Paul. I think she'll be there for a very long time. She might not be at that factory. She might move around, but she'll be at a garment factory for sure.
Were some of the other people, the non-9-year-olds, some of the adults who were there who you talked to, were they already veterans who were planning on this being their life's work?
Yes, a lot of the sewing operators were women who had been working there for the past 5 years, and then they had been at other places. So they'd been working for an average of about 8 to 15 years, I would say.
What does Meme dream of?
She wants to be a sewing operator because that way she will earn a lot more money that she thinks is going to help her family way more.
So she only sees herself in a life in this garment factory?
Right now, yes.
When you came back and told this story to other people, what was their reaction?
like you, everyone was very, very shocked that you had a 9-year-old working 12 hours a day every single day.
Yeah.
It was pretty heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Well, here's what I'm going to do, Ravina. I'm going to put a link to your Toronto Star story on the America Weekend Facebook page so people can read about it in more detail. Thanks for sharing a little bit of it with me here today on the air.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Ravina Alek, a reporter for the Toronto Star, who worked undercover in a Bangladesh sweatshop. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.